Parliament elections are getting even closer. The lampposts are covered in hopeful faces looking for your vote as we drive down the road. Do you see all these lovely, shining faces smiling at us? But should it be compulsory to vote? Would you like to see penalties for those who don't go to the polling stations on the 5th of May? Or should everyone have the freedom to decide and exercise their right to stay at home? The commentator's Alex Kane. Seamus Close with us today. Morning to you, Alex. Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
And on the phones this morning, if you don't vote, why don't you vote? Do you not think you've got a public responsibility to vote? 03030 80 55 55. What do you think, Seamus?
Well, I first raised this issue, would you believe, some 42 years ago, 1974, when I wrote to the then Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, and it was Edward Heath was the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Thorpe, the leader of the Liberals. And I was concerned because in the, I think it was the October 74 election, there was just round about 70% of the people voted. 70% voted, and I was concerned. If I give you some figures, for example, just in this current century, in the Westminster election in 2001, 32% didn't vote. 2005, 36% didn't vote. 2010, 42% didn't vote. And the one just held last year, there was another 42% didn't vote. And I know we're looking into the Assembly election, but in the 2011 Assembly election, 44% of the people in Northern Ireland didn't vote. And that's moved up from 30% non-voters in 1998. Now, it's not that they don't have plenty of choices. When I look, a very cursory glance through the candidates that have been nominated for the Assembly election coming up in May, I think there's something like 12 or 13 different parties. In some of the constituencies, there's a choice of up to 18 different candidates.
Well, what's this got to do with it? This has got nothing to do with whether someone should go out there and vote and whether that is part of their, I guess, civic responsibility, Seamus.
What I'm saying is that there's quite a wide variety of choice. Democracy is dependent upon the voice of the people. Demos and kratos, coming from the Greek. Even the Greeks, for their senatorial election, way, way back then, found it necessary to have a form of compulsory voting. If we have more people not voting than those that turn out to vote, then what price, what value is a political party's mandate?
Alex Kane?
And therefore, what price on democracy itself?
Morning, Steve. Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Alex.
I do. If Seamus knows this, I've written about this, and I've talked to you about it in the past, maybe going back 20, 25 years, about, you know, the continuing fallout, just not simply in Northern Ireland, but across the United Kingdom. But two things I would say in terms of Seamus's point. This thing about, you know, if you had, you know, compulsory voting, 100% voting and so on, that by itself doesn't mean that somehow the government that comes out of that is any more approved or the system is any more successful or works any better. Let's be honest, in Northern Ireland, if there was 100% voting on May the 5th, we will end up with exactly the same format as we have now, with exactly the same parties causing exactly the same problem. So mandatory voting is not an answer. The other thing that Seamus says about choice, I mean, what is it saying? An ordinary person, Stephen, and you do, Seamus, an ordinary person looks at, I won't mention any constituencies or parties in Northern Ireland, just, it's the closest election, just looks down that list in his constituency where I think the top number of candidates in a constituency in one is 18, the lowest number is 12. So he's got a choice between 18 and 12. Of that 18 or 12, 80% are going to be the big five existing parties. He looks at the other smaller ones, he thinks, absolutely no chance. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with their politics. And yet under mandatory coalition, he's told, even though you don't approve of these parties, even though you don't think that any of them big or small will make a difference, we are telling you there is now a legal compulsion
Alex, the turnout in the last Assembly election was 55.7%.
Yes,
what if it went? What if symbolically it went below 50%? What would that say symbolically?
I've been saying for years
that the majority don't even turn up the vote.
Yes, the majority don't turn up. They are saying, Stephen, in the absence of new parties, in the absence of post-conflict, whatever you call it, if a majority of people are making a choice not to vote, they are stripping the resultant government of a natural, moral, legalistic authority. The answer to that is not saying you must vote. The answer to that is taking a very long time, bringing in academics and experts and asking a very simple question, not only in Northern Ireland, but across the world. Why have so many people disconnected? Why do they not trust the political system? Why do they not trust government? Why do they not think it's actually worth the while of taking 5 minutes and once a year to go to a polling station? That's the real question.
Well, let's ask you this morning, as you're sitting at home, driving along, wherever you are today, why do you not vote if you don't vote? And maybe, Seamus, this is as much to do with the media as the politicians, in terms of, is the media not making politics interesting enough in this country? And when people say to me, oh, we switch off politics, we don't care about politics, politics, it's boring. You know, I say back to them, it's not for me to tell people whether to vote or not, but my God, how can politics be voting if it affects your kids' lives, it affects whether you've got a chance to survive or not, because that's what politics is, the health service, it affects your education, it affects the future generation's education, it affects whether people in this country are going to still fight with each other because one happens to be a Catholic and one happens to be a Protestant, it affects some of the taxes you have in this country, it affects your prosperity, it affects if you're in a working class area, have you got the same life chances as someone that's born with a silver spoon in their mouth, it affects the BBC. Yeah, what way should the BBC, how on earth do people say politics is boring? Yeah, maybe the media is making it boring. Me's making it boring.
No, let's not blame the messengers. It affects every aspect of one's life. And I think part of the problem is that the vast majority of people, obviously in the Lake of Northern Ireland, in the United Kingdom and throughout Europe, are quite content that with the laissez-faire, let's not try to change everything, we can't be bothered. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying to people that when I'm trying to get people to go in to the polling station, making it compulsory to go into the polling station, if they wish to spoil their vote whenever they go in there, that's fine by me.
Wow.
But the evidence shows that those that go into the polling station and spoil their vote represent, I think it's about 12,000-15,000 in Northern Ireland. So getting them in will make them look at the list and the choice that they have, and that will concentrate the minds for them maybe to vote for the necessary change, to change the attitudes, to change the complacency, to change the parties that they don't like, and take up some of the options. And if it's been working in Australia since, I think, the 1920s and through Switzerland and Belgium and other countries throughout the world, then I think in Northern Ireland, to protect the democracy, I think we need to do something like this.
You see, I don't think people find politics boring. You can tell me at home, 0303 80 55 55. The Northern Life television show starts with politics most weeks it's on. It's one of the most watched TV shows in Northern Ireland. So there's a difference between people finding politics boring and people going out to vote. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
I'd like to say, Stephen, if the vote givers, politicians that we could vote for, maybe more people would do it for a start. You know, because the politicians we have at the moment, they will not be desired. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to give the hefty fine now because we refuse to vote for idiots? I don't think so.
Well, you know, you've heard me say this before, this kind of blanket statement that they're all idiots is simplistic and facile, and it has to be untrue. They're educated, decent people among our politicians in Northern Ireland. Come on.
Well, I mean, there's 42% of the people over here think that. That's why they don't vote. You know, because they spend more time fighting among each other rather than getting anything done. I mean, I live in North Belfast, and I cannot think of any politicians that's brought any work into this.
We're not going to get into constituencies for a reason, because we shouldn't.
This
goes to an election. Robin and Bangor. Morning, Robin.
Morning.
Go ahead, Robin.
I think it actually should be compulsory to vote, even if it's only to go and spoil your vote, because that would give an indication, a clear indication of the way people are thinking. And it sort of might get people a bit more interested in what's going on.
Are you interested in politics?
Said there that, you know, well, who are we voting for? A load of idiots.
Are you interested in politics?
Yes and no. Yes, it affects everybody. Whether you're interested or not, it does affect you. Because everyday life is governed by what these people on the Hill decide or to do or not to do. And
I'll tell you, thank you, Robin. I'll tell you, Seamus Close, this is anecdotal evidence from me. But this thought that we have that young people don't really care about politics, don't connect, the amount of young people coming up to me recently, in fact, I tell a lie, it's always been the case, but I'm just noticing it, I'm clocking it more now. More and more young people coming up with me, engaging in politics, having an opinion on the politicians of this country, having an opinion on the issues. young people are very much connected to politics, in my view.
Yeah, I agree totally with you. When I was involved myself, I found that young people were the ones who were most likely to enter into dialogue with you. I mean, I travelled around schools and they were very, very interested. They wanted, at that time and through those years, they wanted to see the necessary change. But when they're not seeing change, then that's what breeds complacency. But the big question that I ask is, what would have happened if, for example, in the Westminster election, that other 58%, or sorry, that 42% who didn't vote, if they had come out and vote, would that have changed the results? That's the unknown. Yeah. But I think that's the excitement. That's the big thing to put in front of the electorate and say, what would have happened if you all come out and had expressed a vote? Would you have changed society? Would you have laid the seeds, sown the seeds to bring about the necessary changes that a lot of people are saying they want to see?
Here's Brian and Lambeg. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. I think you and your commentators are forgetting one thing. You think that there's democracy in Northern Ireland. There isn't. It's a sectarian head count. It's always been that way. And
well, if that's true, whose fault's that?
It's the lumpen proletariat. It's the masses. They vote to keep the other side out. The people who want democracy and want to have good politics in Northern Ireland, we're in the majority or minority. Simple as that. If you put a red and white, red and blue rosette on one monkey and a green, white and gold rosette on another monkey, they would be elected MLAs in our government.
Well, so you're calling the public monkeys now?
No, I did not. I said that if you actually put the red, white and blue rosette and the green, white and gold rosette on an actual monkey, they would still be voted for.
Stephen?
Yes?
Can I come in on that? I agree with the caller to some extent, but I will tell you this. If you look across the United Kingdom, across Europe, across America, exactly the same thing happens. They don't call it a sectarian headcount, but in something like at least coming up to maybe 45 to 50% of the seats across the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, they are safe seats. They are safe Conservative seats, safe Labour seats. They have been like that for generations. They never change. I have met people living in parts of Wales who are Conservatives and said, actually, there's no point joining the party, Alex. There's no point getting involved in politics. You can never win. We can never win here. I've talked to people in America, American states, who say, oh, no, Alex, this is a Democratic seat, always has been. This is a Republican seat. So your caller is right in one sense, but that's not unique to Northern Ireland. Across the world, big parties who control government, who control institutions, they control their own core vote.
You're both on the media quite a lot, on this show, on other BBC shows. You write for newspapers. You're two seasoned commentators. Let's look at the media for one second. If you look at how in other genre, clever media people have made things exciting. Look at what Dragon's Den has done for business, for goodness sake, on BBC Two. Look in terms of talent, what Britain's Got Talent, what Simon Cowell has done for the entertainment industry. Look at what Strictly Come Dancing has done for dancing, ballroom dancing, for goodness sake. Whoever thought that that would be prime time, modern young people watching it? Is there a lack of ability within the media in Northern Ireland and elsewhere to make politics exciting, Seamus?
Well, I think the media have got to be very, very careful with all the rules that surround elections, as to what they say and how they go about it. They've got to be absolutely fair.
Of course they do, but can they? But can
the media? Is it restricted in what we say in election?
Of course you are, but is it for the media to make politics maybe more exciting? Is it our fault partly that more people are not connecting with politics?
I think you give to the respective political parties the platform. It's the political parties that select their particular candidates or potential candidates to present a party message. If they make a Horlicks of it, you cannot blame the media. The media, I honestly believe...
Well, the media package it.
They package it, and in their packaging, they have got to be constantly looking over their shoulder with regard to equality, fairness, with respect to the individual parties. They can't go outside those very narrow tram lines. If they do, they're in trouble by the very people who are, one could say, guilty of switching people off. So I really don't blame the media.
Here's Betty in Antrim. Morning, Betty.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I've always felt very cross about this, Stephen. I'm in my 80s and I have never, ever, ever missed a vote in my life. I was so glad whenever I was eligible for the vote. And like when you think of the suffragettes, what they went through to get me to vote, and then you don't use it. anybody who doesn't use their vote should be jailed. They
should be jailed.
What they have in this country.
Right. So you can't have a decision, Betty, of yourself to say, I don't like any of that lot. I'm not getting up and getting out of the house for them. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Look, it's something that people fought to get us. I'm very, very proud to live in this country, and I'm very proud that I have a vote. There's so many people all over the world, and they've no say in what's happening in their country at all.
There are some people who would think, Betty, that politicians have got to earn your vote. They've got to do something to inspire you to go out and vote.
But sure, we don't inspire them if we don't even bother going to vote for them. We've got to show them 100%. Even if you don't agree with all that they do, they're putting in time. They're fighting for me. They're doing things to help me. I do really feel very cross about this. And I'm very, very proud, as I say, that I have never, ever, ever missed a vote.
Alex Kane?
Yes, I can understand where Betty's coming from. In fact, I agree with her.
Do you vote, Alex?
I've had huge difficulty. I don't, and it's a personal thing. I think I've written about this, so I don't think I'm outing myself in this. I have never voted in a European Union election simply because I am so fundamentally opposed to the European Union and that Parliament. I think it's wrong for personally and morally and politically for me to give it a vote. But yes, because I've been involved in politics for years here, I have voted. But I don't buy into this line. Seamus touched upon it earlier. Betty's touched upon it. There is a freedom. There is maybe a responsibility. Yes, I might even have some sympathy for the making voting compulsory or encouraging people to vote if you did have that option to say in a box somewhere, not just writing a scrawl, because writing on the bottom of a paper at the minute that says they're all useless or whatever doesn't matter. It isn't recorded. It doesn't count. But if you actually had a very specific box which either allows you to tick none of the above or actually to put a one-line limited comment which you knew would be read, which you knew the returning officer would have to read during the count and say blah, 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 and none of the above has taken 16.4%, with bearing in mind that it's actually beaten someone, this constituency is only going to have 5 rather than 6 MLAs. Your vote, Betty is right, your vote matters. But there are two freedoms there. The freedom to vote is just as powerful as the freedom not to vote. And if you're going to say to people, you must vote, then you must give them a legitimate choice. And it is legitimate, Stephen. Okay. And Betty, I think, will acknowledge this. It's legitimate for someone to say, I do not approve of any of these parties. I do not approve
Betty,
of their mandate.
Betty, before we leave you,
yeah, love.
What's your message to young people then, who maybe have never voted in their life before?
My message is, if the government passes a law or does something that you don't approve of, unless you have taken the time to go and put your X at somebody's name, you have no right to complain. I'm very, very proud that suffragettes fought and got me my vote. Any young person now should be very, very proud to have the option.
I'm doing a TV special next Wednesday night, 20th April, 9 o'clock, with Tara Mills, where we've got a couple hundred young voters in the audience, and we'll be finding out what they make of the politicians. That's next Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, 20th of April. Stephanie in Cookstown. Morning, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I think the reason people may not choose to vote is because there's a religious undertone that seems to fall in with each of the parties. I come from a reasonably small area outside Cookstown, but it's from the posters, certainly. I know you had a talk last week about posters, but the posters are all for one side more than the other. I myself am in a mixed marriage. And we had a caller come to the door who was from the unionist side. And presumably he had done his homework because he assumed maybe that there would be someone there who would take the vote. But when I came to the door, he asked for my husband.
Well, let's just be careful we don't get into constituency issues here. We shouldn't do so before an election, Stephanie. So you're not inspired to vote then?
I've no interest in the religious side of things. But it seems that unless you're pigeonholed regardless. There's only certain flyers that come into certain areas depending on what that area is presumed to be, mostly either Protestant or either Catholic. So there's no representation there if they don't feel that that area has the majority of one side or the other.
And it's a separate discussion in itself, isn't it, as to whether how much religion and someone's religious belief should, and a party's religious beliefs should, instruct their politics. There would be many people in this country who consider their religious faith to be very important for them, and therefore they want to identify with a political party who will protect their religious beliefs. Patrick and Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Yeah, Yes, Stephen.
Yes, Patrick.
Stephen, I tell you, you let me down again, hey. I had you in a pedestal this morning, you're talking about the Durham University. And then you go and you come on again and you say about the great work that they do up there. You know, many times I've asked you, tell me one department which has been a success in Stormont over the years. And you keep avoiding it.
Don't be ridiculous.
That wasn't the subject to come on about.
Well, you're being ridiculous. Let me just deal with that, right? It's not for me to identify an individual department. It would not be in the spirit of what the BBC does for me to identify an individual department and say what they are doing well. But here's what I can say, because it is completely crazy to say anything else.
Why?
For there to be a blanket statement that all politicians are wasters and all politicians are this and that, it's just facile, because they're not all wasters. Clearly they're not.
Why are they phoning into you telling you why they don't vote? Do you listen to what they say? They are disenchanted with Stormont. The same two big parties go up there.
Remember, the majority still do vote.
I vote.
55.7% voted at the last Assembly election.
They will vote because there's two parties can get their people out. They never fail to get them out. Now, let me go back. I was called a political analyst by somebody else on another show the other day. I'm not. I'm a 78-year-old pensioner who phones in when I feel angry. Today, them two parties will do it again. Now, in the day of John Hume could take people out by the thousands. He actually ran Ian Paisley to one.
Why are you angry?
But to 500, they came out.
Let's talk about today. Why are you angry?
Why? Because the young people have nothing to come out for. There's nothing there. Them two parties can...
But there are different parties in Northern Ireland with fundamentally different views on big issues in Northern Ireland. Hold on a minute. On abortion, on gay marriage, on welfare reform, on tax, on education.
Yes.
You think of the spread of views that there is. And all of those different issues in political parties. There's a reason some might argue to vote.
Stephen, what are the two main ones? Let's keep British, keep McGuinness out. Let's go for a reunion in Ireland. That's the two that are threw up all the time. The rest of them are threw in as a red herring when it suits them. My wife was right. She always talks to that other lady about the suffragettes. She'll always vote. And fair play to my wife. Young people should go out and vote. Pick independents. Pick anybody. But not them two parties. Give themselves a chance to turn this thing round, because we're sick of it. People phone into you all the time.
They are the two biggest parties, I will remind you. You're talking clearly about the DUP and Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
They are the two biggest parties because the majority of people go out and vote for them.
Yes, Stephen.
Up to now.
Stephen, one of the parties I know wiped the SDLP off the map because John Hume went out of his way to get that party into politics. Remember he's saying, I don't care if one more person, if I save one more life, it'll suit me. And he gave up his whole political career. They bring him in. They don't even recognise him anymore. No, let me get this on my chest. They don't even recognise him.
We're not going to go into that, are we? Because that's not what we're talking about today.
What we're talking about today is whether people go out and vote.
Are you going out to vote?
Me? I'll definitely go out to vote. And so will my wife, and so will my family.
Oh, there you go.
Because we brought them all up.
There you go.
Yeah, we tried to vote to bring a party in who'll actually come across and say, here's what we want to do. We're looking after health. We're looking after energy. We're looking after justice.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Patrick, thank you. Jared and Clonard. Morning, Jared. Last call on this, then we're moving on.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I'm 56 years of age and I don't vote.
Why not?
Why should I? I mean,
You don't want the influence, the education of the next generation. You don't want to decide whether gay marriage should be in Northern Ireland like it is elsewhere in the UK, or indeed whether it should be stopped. You don't want to decide whether water charges should be brought into Northern Ireland, because that money may, some would argue, be used elsewhere. Or indeed, you might think that's great that they're blocking it here. You don't want to get the potholes sorted in the roads. You don't want more mixed education in Northern Ireland, or maybe you think the status quo is the way it should stay. You don't want to change the way the BBC license fee is, Westminster issue, but you could certainly influence some of the political parties on it here. What don't you want to influence? Corporation tax. It's going to be lowered in Northern Ireland. You don't have a view on that. Cutbacks in public spending. You don't have a view on that either.
First of all, it's not just the BBC license paid. Remember, Channel 4 gets a slice out also. But if anybody was to say to me, why did you vote he or she? I couldn't answer them. I couldn't answer them. I'm all me. What have they ever done for me? How long ago was I 18 and I'm now 56? What one thing they've done for me?
But that's not what have they done. What could they do for you?
Yes, what could? And, you know, could is...
But is that not what you're voting for? Look, it's not for me to encourage people to go out and vote. It's not for me to do that. So, you know, maybe there is a message that's being sent if less people vote, and fair enough, not for me to say that's right or wrong. But I'll tell you what, Jared, I can say this. I find politics incredibly exciting because I do have a view. I'm not allowed to express it, but I have a view on many issues in Northern Ireland. And that's why I find politics exciting. Because you look at them all and you hear when they duck questions so you can read an answer out of it when they duck questions. You hear when they get things wrong. You hear when they take a stand, you think, is that modern day 2016? Is that not all exciting?
Stephen, I'll tell you what is not exciting. When they were getting elected and they were employing Fianna Fáil members of their own family, when they were involved in dodgy dealings, when they didn't go to jail, where if it was me or you would have been put in jail. That isn't mentioned.
Jared, thank you. Morning to you.